Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Well, good morning. I am so excited to be here. This is so much fun for me. I really do enjoy speaking. So today I'm going to speak about choices. Do you know we always are at choice every minute, every second of every day? We make choices. And sometimes those choices are not such great choices. So what we have to remember is that we were given a magnificent gift. It's called volition or free will. We were given the right to create the life that we want. We can create it through our actions, through our words, and through our thoughts. Because one thing that I learned when I was first starting this is that your thoughts are prayers. So you kind of need to step back sometimes and see what you're thinking about. What kind of a thing have you fallen into that you've started thinking that you're less than, or that you're lacking, or that you're limited? Where did we get those thoughts? Well, we are not little puppets on a string dancing for spirit. We don't have a destiny. We're not fated to be anything. The only thing that we are is spiritual beings having a human expression right now, in this moment. That's what we are. And each and every one of us are connected eternally. If you've ever looked at quantum physics, it's all energy. Everything is energy. And we are created and brought into form by this energy. And this energy, as Einstein said, it's a universal intelligence, because the world and all of the universe is too organized to just be a random accident. I don't like to think of myself as a random accident that happened to come, you know, this pool of goo came together and suddenly there was life, and then suddenly this is where I am. I like to think of it as that we chose to be here because we're eternal. We chose to be on this planet. Eternal means without beginning or without end. So we were alive, we were a consciousness before we ever came onto this planet. We weren't suddenly born into consciousness, we were already there. And that's why our consciousness, as it goes on, we go on. Our consciousness continues to go on. And you know what? They're now proving that with science. First, they've proven that our energy is actually more than just within our body, within this human sack of water, if you want to call it that. But anyway, it's more than that. And you know that. You know how you do? Has anybody ever gotten into your space? Have you ever noticed that somebody's too close and you start backing up because it's like, get out of my space? You know, this is my area. And so when you remember that, your energy is touching everyone that you're close to right now. If you're sitting next to, your energy is touching them and their energy is touching you. Isn't that exciting? That we can pull ourselves up and we can connect ourselves back into that beauty of being one creation. So what is freedom? You know, we have free will. So what is freedom? Freedom is the power or the right to speak, act, and move without being stopped or limited. We can speak, we can say whatever we want, but sometimes we pull back because we don't want to be mean. We don't want to be nasty. Well, sometimes maybe, but no. Most of the times we want to stay in that spiritual space. We want to stay in that belief that we have found within us. And so, you know, that's why when people say to me, you know, we have this power, well, why is there evil? There is no entity. There is not a little devil in a red suit chasing you around, causing you problems. What is causing your problems is your thinking and what you're creating with your thinking. So I hear people say all the time, well, you know, I have this power, but, you know, sometimes I just get so mad and I can't help myself. I just can't help it. It's just something in me. I just get so mad about something. And I say, yes, you can. You can stop this. All you've got to do is go back and look and see where you created this anger. You've got to stop and look at it. Unless you want to continue just getting angry about every little thing or whatever triggers you. You know, and somebody else says to me, well, you know, sometimes they just push my buttons. You know, it's like they just know what to say that's just going to set me off and everything else. And then I have to remind them again, you're the one that put the buttons there. If they're pushing your buttons, you put them out there for them to push, you know. So, oh, I think I'll do this one. No, this one this time. But you're the one that put the buttons there. And now maybe it was a defense mechanism. Maybe it was a way to deal with life because you knew there were certain boundaries and certain things that people couldn't say or do around you because that was, you know, your boundaries, if you have any. Some people have none. But if you do. But so when I see people or when I've talked to people, somebody that I was just recently counseling with was that I just don't know why I get so angry. I don't know why. Well, that's when you have to go back and unpack the trunk that you're dragging behind you with all that negative, all that bad stuff in it. You know, you're just walking through life, dragging that thing along with you. But you don't have to delve into the trunk. You can actually cut that trunk off if you want to. You know, it's like I tell people sometimes, leave all your things at the front door when you come in. Come in with an open mind and an open heart and just hear what's being said. Now, you can go back and pick it all up again once you leave. You know, if you want to take all that junk with you, that's fine. But there's always a point where you can let it go. And so if somebody's pushing your buttons, have you ever heard of the gray rock in the stream? Anybody? The gray rock? All right, if you're a stream and you're at the gray rock, you're just sitting in the middle of the stream. And you let the water goes around you, the water comes over you, it goes all different directions around you. But you don't have to react to the water. You can just be the gray rock, just sitting there observing. The observer effect. Have you ever heard of that, the observer effect? It's when the quantum physics, they say the greatest experiment in this century is called the slit screen experiment. And what that was is they put a screen up, kind of like this. And then they had a plate in front of it. And then they shot electrons through these little slits in the plate. And they would show up as a pattern on the screen behind them. And it was always in a wave motion. So all electrons were waves, really. They weren't really real. They weren't solid objects. Until they put a camera on it. They thought, we're going to watch and see right when it goes through the slit what it is. They turned away from being a wave into an electron. And they could visually see it. Or, you know, see the image on, you know, it's too tiny to actually see. But, and then the pattern changed on the screen behind. It was kind of like, how does it know it's being observed? Because everything has consciousness. And that was kind of like, what? So they would say, okay, little electron, we're not really watching you, not really. Even though this camera's way over here, we're not really watching you, and it still go through as an electron. As soon as they took the cameras off, it went through as a wave. And man, talk about blowing your mind, if you think about it. But that's when they discovered and they realized that everything has consciousness. This has consciousness. Everything is consciousness. And when you think about that, then you're walking around in a world that is aware of you as much as you are aware of it. So your thinking really does make a difference in your life. It's because of how you perceive things. So the observer effect found that you can be a very powerful being by just observing. When you see conflict, when you see things, instead of thinking, I can fix this, sometimes it's better to sit back and observe and not to cause more conflict or not to, you know, stir things up even more than it was, but just to observe and to see, you know, because really and truly, you can learn a lot about people if you just observe. Sometimes I have to say, thank you for showing me who you are out loud, you know? Sometimes that's a good thing, but sometimes you see somebody acting out or, you know, being crazy. I've just recently experienced that. I had a person in our meditation garden having a fight with the air, and also they were naked. It was great. It was the Sunday I was speaking. It was really something. I ended up having to call the police. Anyway, you can't let those things get in the way. So, you know, and then the other thing is, well, you know, I really want to do this, but I can't do this because maybe I will do those. Those are doubt words. Those are words that you doubt that you can do it, so you're leaving yourself open for the possibility of failure. When you say, I know myself, I know what my truth is, that's when you're out of that place of doubt and limitation. You accept and love yourself, warts and all, everything about yourself. I know I can do better in certain areas. I know I can do worse in certain areas, but I always try and just do my best. That's all you can do. So did you know that annually we make 2,190 excuses every year? That's about six a day. Now, some of them are excuses like, oh, I don't really want to go to that, so I'm going to say, I already have other plans. Well, maybe those plans are sitting on the couch and eating bonbons, but, you know, it's not really fibbing, but you're not really being authentic either. You're not being honest. And sometimes it's about limitation. I seriously had a friend that bought a membership to a gym and drove to the gym every day and sat in the parking lot for a month. Because then she could say, I went to the gym. But it took her a month before she could walk inside. My other favorite is, I'm going to join the gym as soon as I lose weight. Isn't that great? What's kind of unclear on the concept kind of thing there? Okay, so, but those excuses that you make, they're benign most of the time. I asked one of my friends, she's very straightforward. She's from New York. Their name is Terry. I asked her one time, I said, no, if you don't want to do something, you know, don't you just make an excuse? And she just looked me straight in the eye. She said, no, I just tell them I'm not interested in that. I go, wow, that's so authentic, so real, so true. Because what we're really trying to reach here is not with the excuses that we use that limit ourselves. When we're using an excuse to limit ourselves, saying, I can't do that because I'm too this, too that, I'm too old, I'm too this, I'm too what. Did you know that I just read about a woman, 90 years old, that just graduated from law school? So how can we possibly say we're too old? You're never too old until you're in the ground. I'm sorry. You're never too old. You're always open to change. Because that's the only thing that we can count on is change in our lives. That's what we have to depend upon. Not that everything will stay the same. Because when we do that, we just set ourselves up for failure. It's even in a marriage. I just read the man wrote. He said, the truth about a good marriage and how you stay married for 60 years is you have to fall in love with that person over and over and over again because they're going to be changing and you've got to fall in love with the person that they're becoming. You can't expect them to be that little young bride, you know, always, you know, everything stays exactly the same. You've got to fall in love with them over and over. And that's what I thought. You know, that is so true, because there's been times when I was married that I'd be so mad at this person or something like that, and then all of a sudden they do one little thing, and suddenly she's like, oh, you know, I'm back, you know. But think about that when you define who you are to become an authentic human being through your choices, through your choices of how you want to live your life. What's important to you? What is the most important thing in your life right now? And that's the choice if you're going to follow that or if you're going to follow a different pathway. Freedom, true freedom, is what you do with what was done to you. Because we've all had that experience since the minute we were born. We have been trained to be human beings, however that is defined, you know, depending upon your culture, on your parents. We've always been defined or trying to define ourselves. So Lao Tzu, my favorite ancient philosopher, wrote the I Ching, which was 82 verses that talked about how you should live your life. And I think the second one that says that you need to be an authentic human being. What that means is that you are exactly the same in private as you are in person. Now, I'm not talking about bodily functions and stuff like that. I'm talking about that when you walk out of your door, you're exactly the same person as when you walk back in. So if you're out there in the world and everybody loves you, you're great, you're wonderful, and then you go home and the first thing you do is kick your dog, you are not authentic. You're not being a real person. And that's hard to do because so many things in our lives we've been taught to hide and to keep back and not let anybody know, oh my gosh, I might be this, or what would they think about me if I was this? But to be authentic, to be the real person that you're meant to be, all of the experiences you're bringing forward, all of the thoughts you're bringing forward, but mainly the beliefs. When you take out a belief to look at it, you've got to think about three things. First thing, this is, who taught me this? Was it society? Was it my parents? Was it school? Was it the bully at school? You know what I'm saying? Why was I taught? Why did I start believing this? The second thing is it true? Because a lot of times it's not. It's just but what we've been taught. For example, not a baby on this planet is born prejudiced. Not a baby on this planet is born racist. We're taught that. We're taught to believe that we are greater or less than someone else. But in God's eyes, we're all equal. I am equal to the Pope because you are equal to the Pope. You're equal to any kind of religious figure you see out there. They're not better. I'm not better because I'm up here speaking or because I went to ministerial school. I've just had more education, that's it, in this particular field. But I'm still trudging along every day trying to be the best person I can be. Because, you know, we all have our moments, right? But mainly, when you get into that, when you're getting into trying to be authentic, maybe there's that one story, that one thing back there that is just laying on your mind. You cannot get rid of it, and you've judged yourself by it for years. You have defined yourself sometimes by somebody else's words. Do you really want somebody else to have the ability to define who you are? No, we define who we are. We get to decide. And that is the greatest gift. So people say, well, you know, people have free will, we're all connected, and God is only good. Explain evil to me. What about, I've heard this one so many, what about Hitler? Well, I'll tell you something that will really rock your boat. Hitler was a spiritual being having a human expression, and he used the power that we are all given to harm. See, that's the point. We all have this power, and we get to choose how we use it. We can use it to harm other people. We can use it to cause destruction, but we can also use it to just create joy and create life and love. We can do all of these things because it's already within us. You know, people say, well, how do you reach that point, you know, where you feel like you're connected with God and stuff? Well, you know, the first step I've always heard, and I'm sure you've heard it too, gratitude. Grateful for what I have right now in this minute, and open and receptive for new experiences to come in. That's gratitude. Now, you know, how, you know, you hear this thing, I have an attitude of gratitude. That's a lovely saying. It's cliche, but it is a lovely saying. I have an attitude of gratitude. But your gratitude is not from your attitude. It's from your heart. You think about this. When somebody's done something really nice for you, and you just, don't you feel it just welling up inside of you, that gratitude? It's not up here analytically thinking, oh, I must be grateful right now. It's your heart. It's your heart that's full of gratitude. And when you can come from that place of gratitude within your heart, everything changes. Because I always say, I always do, when I first wake up in the morning, I'm full of gratitude. And you know what I'm full of gratitude for? And people laugh at me for this. I am so grateful for my sheets. I love my sheets. They're really soft, you know, and I love my bed. And so just wake up to be grateful for the most inane thing, but that's where it starts. It's starting with the little things. Like when I make it through a light and it stays green, I'm like, oh, thank you, Spirit. Didn't have to stop for that one, you know. But I realize that when I'm thanking Spirit outside of myself, I'm thanking Spirit within me, that heart full of gratitude. So sometimes what you have to do when those painful things happen to you, you have to rewrite the story. Sometimes that's all it takes, is rewriting the story so you can change how you feel, your feelings around it. I had to rewrite the story of my mom. My mom was a very depressed, very bipolar person. And for the longest time, I had so much anger and resentment towards her until I stepped back and I looked and I realized that everything that was coming from her was coming from the bipolar place. So she was afflicted by this. So I was able to suddenly let go of all that anger when I saw that it was the disease, it wasn't the person. And that's what we have to remember sometimes. It's just, we have to rewrite the story with compassion and with love and take that anger, get that anger out of there, because that's the other thing we have to remember. To let something new in, we have got to get rid of something else. RVers are the perfect people for that. If you have an RV, nothing new can go in unless something old comes out. Because if you just kept taking everything in without removing, you would soon not be able to walk in there. So, but that's the rule that we have to think about as well. Unless you get rid of something that's old, that's holding you back and limiting you by those anger feelings or resentment or whatever that story is, you've got to sit there and reframe it and look at it from a different point of view to get rid of it. Because you can't carry these things around forever. Oh yeah, you can, I'm sorry, you can. But if you want a life that's full of joy and beauty and happiness and all of those things, you have to start by unpacking the trunk. And I know, I will bet you, each and every one of you have one. I have one, but mine's gotten really smaller. It used to be like this, you know. But now, through this teaching and through this learning and knowing that I'm never alone, I am always in connection with Spirit. I am in connection with everybody, with everything. I have never met a stranger. If you want to think of it that way, how can you be a stranger when I'm already connected to you? So, you know, the other thing is ask about, you know, when you have choices and when you have free will. Why doesn't God step in and stop this? You know, where is God in this? Why isn't God present? Well, God is always present. But Spirit must remain impersonal. Now, that sounds cold. What? It's impersonal? It doesn't even care one way or the other or anything? Must remain impersonal. Impersonal, excuse me. Because if God stepped in, we'd no longer have free will. We created it, whatever it is. If it's on this planet, it's been created. But if God stepped in and, oh, made choices, made a choice to choose one side over the other or something like that, then we would no longer have free will, because God could just step in any time and just, oh, well, let me just clean this mess up. Now, we created it. We have to clean it up. We created, not individually, but sometimes as a consciousness of this planet, we've created discord, we've created pain, we've created strife, when we already make enough food on this planet to feed everyone on this planet well, to feed them well. But that's something that's got to change with our consciousness. And I'm just inviting you to be the first ones to start it off. Let's be the point of light right now in this building, a point of light in the universe, where we consciously are thinking that we are ready to open up and get rid of discord, get rid of all of these things. Well, we're starting here, because it has to, like Lao Tzu said, my favorite, when y'all probably didn't know this was attributed to him, but the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And you get to be the first step if you'd like. You can join it. You can be it. We cannot live a choiceless life. Every day, every moment, every second, there is a choice. If it were not so, we would not be individuals. So, thank you. Namaste. I'm so sorry. I forgot to do the prayer. It's different from where I go to the center. Anyway, let's just take a moment in reflection, taking a nice deep breath in, and just feel your shoulders drop as you release. Just feel yourself sink into this seat. Just feel yourself just become one with this beautiful, beautiful center. Feel your heart being centered inside of you, as you know that there is only one power, one spirit, one entity back of all creation, that we are individualized expressions of this power, that we have the ability to create the life that we desire. And knowing this, I just know that each and every person here today is ready to open up their heart, open up their mind, open up all these facets within them to recognize and see the beauty of the individual that they are, and to know that they are authentic in their hearts, and they're ready just to be who they are. All the good within them is now ready to spring forth and to be those people, the person that people go to, are attracted to, because of the positive energy radiating from within you. And so, knowing this, I am so full of gratitude today for everyone present, either here or online, and knowing that hopefully someone today had that aha moment, that moment when they recognized who they are and they know who they are. And so with this, I release my word to the law, knowing that everything is unfolding in divine right order, and that we know that we have perfect trust, perfect peace, and perfect love within us always. If this resonates with you, please join me in saying, and so it is.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.